Hello, and welcome to No Bake 2, The Interview. This is the first official audio interview.
Woo!
Woo, yeah. How was it? Last month we had an interview with local author Bridget Ladd.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. She had a book that she had put out. I went ahead and I just did some questions and, you know, she
good.
Did some answers. And by the way, I'm Adam Buccafusco, host of No Big Two Comic Review on OakCityHustle.com. And I'm joined with my guest today, Jacob Corum.
Hi.
Local animator and comic enthusiast.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Man, last night we did a whole night of podcasting for a new segment that we're going to be starting soon. And hopefully this one goes a little bit more smoothly.
Oh, was it bad?
No, it wasn't bad. It was a little all over the place and a lot louder. So this one's going to be a little more low key, a little more NPR.
A little less
Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's So you know, I've been getting the question, what is No Big Two Comic Review? When I had approached Joe Bruno, one of the creators of Oak City Hustle, you know, we talked about how I can contribute to the site and just kind of have weekly content to help kind of get people interested. And I said, well, you know, every week I'm reading comics, as many of us do. So I said, why don't I do a comic blog for you? And he goes, that's great. Cool. Awesome. And I wanted it to be a little different. I didn't want it to be about Marvel comics, and I didn't
like
want it
every
to be
other comic blog.
Right. And
there.
I didn't want it to be about DC comics. Now, I read a crap load of Marvel and DC stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I wanted it to showcase smaller names, smaller
stuff.
Projects.
A little more interesting stuff. Like
general stories.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's okay to shed the capes and the superpowers and have, you know, it's in the indie comics and the lesser known comics that you'll find some genuine stories. You'll even find just shorter runs.
And that's, like self-contained stuff. It's always, they can do a lot more interesting stuff sometimes. We had a conversation about this not too long ago about how in the Cape comics, you only do so much with Superman before the fans start getting upset or whatever. Where indie comics, you can just go balls to the wall and just do whatever you want,
right?
Like in the first issue.
Sure.
So I think, I enjoy your blog. It's pointing out a lot of stuff, and it's putting a lot of stuff on the forefront that I haven't heard of at all. But I do see people talking about it, and I'm glad you're calling attention to some of that stuff. So.
Yeah,
good job.
You know, it's not hard for me to do because I'd be doing it one way or another. It's something I'm kind of getting more passionate. We're now kind of entering the second year, phase two of No Big Two. The first year was spent kind of just dabbling and kind of getting a structure down.
Yeah.
This year, I really wanted to push what this can be, and really open up the conversation to, you know, the not only the Oak City community, but the comic book community of North Carolina or the East Coast or anybody who's interested.
World.
The world. The world. It is the World Wide Web after all. So,
I call it that.
Yeah. And so one thing I really wanted to do is get more interviews and get more insight into why is it that people want to pursue their own independent stories, their own illustrations, their own, why do people do this? So that's it. I mean, that's why, that is what No Big Two is. You know, it's
there you go. There's one shedding. No Big Two 101.
There you
kinda.
Go.
Yeah.
There you go. Have you read any good indies lately? Or,
well, I was looking up before coming on here. I was looking at some like local artists, and there was one thing I noticed. Like, I found some, and it looks like good stuff. I mean, it's not stuff I always read, but one thing I've noticed is, like, the biggest indie comic boom is happening right now, but they're not, there's so many right now, but so many of them aren't even called indie comics, they're called web comics, and that's what I tend to read a lot online.
Right.
Are just people, because a lot of times people won't even need to bother getting a publisher anymore, they can just go out and just, I'm going to put this online. And then, and like, those have been really successful. And that's what I tend to read more than anything.
Or do you have any web comics you that come to mind that?
Yeah, I love reading this one called I think it's called, oh no, I forgot. It's like, I think it's called Paranatural, and it's really just like a, like, it's so many of our, like, younger people, like our generation, like there's a very, very thin line between like manga and comics now.
Sure.
And it's like a lot of like web comics, which, like, they don't need to be in books. They can just be updated frequently, like every week at a page or whatever. And just, but by the time like 3 or 4 months have passed, you've got like a whole book in front of you. And it's always fun to like see how those books have progressed. This one that I just mentioned, Paranatural. I can't remember the author of it right now, but it's really cool because you start reading it, the art is not that good. It's not at first.
Right.
You start reading it, and the plot is very kind of basic. It's very kind of mundane. But then you, when you first go to the website, you see the most recent page, and it's good art now. Like, you see his progression, which
right,
is always
the evolution
so,
of
yeah,
it.
It's
sure.
always so, I love seeing that. It makes me, like, actually want to make my own stuff, but can never get past that first, like, hurdle. It's always nice seeing people who do that. Another one that Whitney, my girlfriend, likes to read is called Cucumber Quest. And that one is...
That's a good title.
Yeah, it's a good... I love it. And all the people in there, it's like, the art is just adorable, but the colors are, like, awesome. And it's just, I really want to buy, like, a hardback copy of it, like, because I just want to see it in print, because it's gorgeous looking.
Right.
But it, when I was looking at that indie comic scene, one thing I was noticing was that all the people in the indie comic scene, I'm doing air quotes right now, the indie comic scene,
yeah,
they're
it's
all
not
like,
a very visual
no,
medium.
No, it's not.
Podcasting.
That's why I mentioned the air quotes. Yeah. But yeah. They needed, everyone who's like in the indie scene nowadays are like in their 30s or 40s, where it's like all the people who are our age are going just online. Like, they're
right.
not even, they don't even need to publish it often.
Yeah, and what I'm seeing a lot, actually, I've been really on Kickstarter a lot lately,
yes.
which is
oh,
a
man.
Great place to discover new titles, to discover independent works. I highly recommend checking out Kickstarter to find a project that you yourself find interesting. But what I'm realizing is a lot of people, creative teams, writers and illustrators, they start online.
Yeah.
And then once they have a following,
you know,
once they move into the Kickstarter, mm-hmm. because they do want that tangible, they do want that book.
I do
want
to make money.
You know, yeah, exactly. Well, not only
that,
that, but
yeah,
but
know
you
that.
Know, I mean, there is something to be said about having something physical.
Yeah.
I think there's a value to it that, you know, an inherent value in owning
mm-hmm.
a physical copy. If you remember way back, one of the early reviews I did was for a book called Wild Blue Yonder by
yeah.
IDW.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, I just discovered that
so.
the guys of Wild Blue Yonder had started as
mm-hmm.
an internet comic.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah. And then it was through Kickstarter that they were able
oh,
to,
that was right. okay.
or more recently, the 2 weeks ago, I think, I did The Bunker.
Mm-hmm.
That started as... a web comic, and
yeah.
through like Kickstarter they were able to, you know, bring on a colorist, they were able
so
to get
awesome,
a physical
yeah,
yeah I think it's a really great medium in the sense that it gives writers and artists a way to get their stories, maybe even more personal stories, out.
Yeah.
They're not confined to the big picture that you would have at working for a company like Marvel and DC and working within like the new 52.
Well, I was gonna
order.
Mention like the Kickstarter thing that's so great about it is you don't have to worry about if there's an
right.
audience for it or not anymore. It's like oh, we could go to print with this web comic, it is popular online, but then like not everybody wants, like, loves the comic enough to get a book for it. But then it's like, if you're interested in getting a book, send us money, and people are like, I want a book, send you money, and then like that's how stuff gets made. And it's like, It's awesome seeing stuff go from people like, I had some free time, I wanted to kind of make this one idea that I thought was kind of cool. At the time, I didn't really think anybody would like it, I just wanted to make it. And then it turns into these huge things. Like, have you ever read, one other thing the internet's really doing is it's redefining what the comic is.
Sure.
Like Scott McCloud, have you ever read like those Understanding Comics books that he
yeah,
does?
You know, I haven't officially read them, but I'm more than aware of them.
Yeah,
yeah, it's definitely
everyone,
on my
like
on my Amazon
Scott
wish
McCloud's
list. Yeah, just haven't gotten around to that one. Yeah, but yeah, so that's good. Where everybody starts with that book, man.
Well, they have one. His one is not as popular, called Reinventing Comics, and it's basically about him saying that the internet's gonna like change everything, man. And like he predicted all this stuff, and everyone was like, oh, okay, but now it's like happening. Like Tumblr with GIFs and everything like that. Everyone's using GIFs in their comics now, and they're actually like animation and comics are becoming one. Like they're merging together, and like the biggest. Most craziest craze right now is called Homestuck. Have you heard of that?
No, I'm familiar.
It's ridiculous. You've probably seen the kids at cons. You were talking about how much you get annoyed by like they all. It's like
I'm
this.
I'm not annoyed by kids at cons. I don't know what you're talking about. Kids don't bother me. It's
slander.
It's the people who decide to stop in the middle of the walkways and take pictures.
You're not offended
look,
by cosplayers.
If I'm gonna have a platform, it's like, look, if you're in costume, you want to take some pictures, just. Take two steps to the left.
Yeah,
just get out of my way.
I don't dislike kids at cons. It's more just like socially inept kids at cons that kind of make me cringe. I'm like, good for you getting out in the world and meeting people. But anyway, it's like such a huge popular thing right now, and it's not. You can't call it a webcomic, but you can't really call it anything else either.
Right.
Like, it's basically a guy, and he uploads a page, like a panel. Mm-hmm. One single panel, like whenever he feels like it, and it can be like a month or a week or a day or every couple hours.
That sounds like how I work. Just new stuff. Yeah.
No, but
whenever I feel like
it. But he updates it. Exactly. It's whenever he feels like it, and he'll have one piece of art. Sometimes it's animated, but it's all very basic art. Like it almost looks like you remember like in middle school when kids used to like copy like the South Park style of drawing, like
right.
A circle,
sure.
Body. That's what it is. It's just basic. And then he accompanies it with like half a page of just text and dialogue. And then he'll do that. And sometimes, some days he'll come up with like 5 updates on a day. And other times he'll go like a week without updating at all. But it's like become this like usually with most webcomics, you can start at the beginning and it'll take you like a week or two at most to catch all the way up. Like
sure.
Just keep reading page after page. I tried multiple times to start this from the beginning. It's like the Odyssey. I'm not even kidding. Like, it's that long. Like,
he's the new age Homer.
It's like the internet Homer. Seriously, because it's all like internet stereotypes. I can't even begin to explain the plot. It's too nuts. I can only recommend people go check it out. I think it's just Google Homestuck. It's like the internet. It's like constantly pointing in.
We'll include links in the post for this.
Just Google Homestuck. I don't even know, but it's really interesting, and it's. But it's the fact that it's like it's not really a webcomic, but it's like that's the closest we have to describe it.
Right.
And that you'll never see translated into like print medium. But
sure.
That's I think he's going to be like going down as like one of the comic artists of our generation. Again, comic artists, air quotes, of our generation. But...
I find that when creative teams are able to add another project or they get a free time from the big names, a lot of writers and illustrators will venture over to the smaller titles, the Dynamite, the IDWs, the Oni.
Oni's good.
Over and over. They'll even create their own publishing companies.
Yep.
I'm seeing that this year, and I'm very excited, Scott Snyder, writer for the new 52 Batman,
right.
And Superman Unchained, is coming out with a new story called Witches. And this is going to be...
like Twilight with witches.
No. Well, he got his start, his claim to fame was American Vampire. So Scott Snyder is returning.
This isn't Zack Snyder.
No,
we always will say.
There's two Snyders involved with Batman right now, and this
Zack
one
Snyder's
I,
the director. Right?
This one I have faith in. Scott Snyder, yeah, not Zack Snyder. Scott.
Yeah.
He's the writer for the current Batman. But he's more of a horror writer, and he's actually added a really heavy sense of horror to the new 52 Batman. And he's actually like kind of going back to his roots with witches, and I'm very excited about it. I know Brian K. Vaughan was, you know, writing for many major.
You said that's my favorite artist, right?
Yeah,
there. K. Vaughan
writer.
Favorite,
yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, Brian K. Vaughan wrote, you know, for TV shows. He wrote, you know, for the big boys, the big two.
My favorite right now, my favorite no big two is Saga. Right
Saga.
Yeah. I just picked up like 3 issues of that, and it's like every you issue, know, man. That's like one of the few comics.
I haven't done a review of Saga. Because
you don't need to.
Everyone I don't need to. I don't think I would do it justice. Like, I don't think I can.
No way.
And, no, everyone I really
just
can't.
Be like, everyone just be like, if everyone and their cousin hasn't been, like, introduced to it yet, like, there's nothing you can say. Like,
right.
It's because everyone else who's read it can, like, vouch for how awesome it is.
Yeah.
It's basically Star Wars, but, like, kind of like the same way, like, Guardians of the Galaxy
Yeah,
is.
It's a science fiction love story.
Fantasy
kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it just has this level of adult humor and intelligence that only Brian K. Vaughan can really do.
Yeah.
I mean,
sophistication with like body humor.
I mean,
and just...
like there's a reason him and Joss Whedon worked on projects together.
Yeah.
I mean, they're very much alike. They're very both, you know, very intelligent. And they both do women really well.
Yeah.
Not in the biblical sense, but
what?
they really can get into a female state of mind. I won't say
more
they,
so than I can, at least.
Well,
like,
yeah, definitely.
Like sometimes I forget, or I like it is because he'll make the protagonist. Like so many books will have the female character in there, and they're like, "This is the female. She has her women and feminine wiles."
Right,
and
right,
but like so often you forget like a dude's writing it because like female. Is like the woman's like usually the protagonist in his books, so like they're always like very powerful characters.
If you want to see a clear cut example of this, I cannot recommend enough Why the Last Man. I mean, if you want to talk about a guy who wants to tear down stereotypes, female stereotypes, Brian K. Vaughan does it with Why the Last Man, and it's definitely worth picking up. It's one of those stories that to me breaks the whole what can a comic book be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think comic books, people go, those are for kids.
Yeah,
funny books,
or like, or not,
or masks, and
because like that's the thing is like it's either gone one way or the other. Like it's either like way too, it's like, oh, it's for young childs and children's and chitlins, and or it goes like the exact opposite way of like South Park or like Frank Miller stuff, where it's
right,
like
really
blood, violence, and gore, and just
sure.
like Alan Moore stuff, where it's like there is a whole middle ground there. Like I feel like comics have like really overcompensated. It's like we're not just for kids; we're also ultra violent, sex, and nudity. And it's like, but then there's a healthy.
In fairness, there is violent, sex, and nudity,
but it's done in like a but it's like done in like a way that's not like gratuitous. Like you like Frank Miller, but
sure.
I really don't, just because I feel like he.
Well, I'm. Kind of right and you're kind of wrong. It's okay.
No, it's, every time I think of Frank Miller, I think of I listened to it before coming over here, the Lego movie with Batman, just darkness.
Yeah.
Just, curtains closed, parents are dead. Like, just like, come on, take it easy.
Oh man, I was telling you, Lego man, don't
be careful.
I'm addicted.
It. Yeah,
it's addictive. It's addictive stuff. I spent too much money on Lego.
Yeah.
Just this weekend alone. Last weekend
careful.
On top of it.
I'd kill for like a Why the Last Man Lego set.
Oh man, that would
doing
be.
That. I don't know, but at the same time, I don't collect stuff like you do. About, but I mean, like I want some Why Last Man merchandise or something.
There
like
really
that.
Hasn't been. I mean, there's the individual comics
stuff,
because
that's
it was a 40 issue series, so that's a lot to collect. So they were they condensed them down to trade paperbacks, and even that. Was I believe 7 to 10 trade paperbacks, and when you're talking $15 an issue trade paperback,
like
it's
I'm not
pricey.
Even, I'm not even like a merchandise collector, but I want to give more money to that project. Like I want there to be like people be like
a Why the Last Man something.
Yes.
Well, you might be in luck because it's
really?
An on again, off again discussion, and apparently as of
movie.
This week,
oh no,
maybe next week it won't be. But they are talking about a Why the Last Man movie.
Well, isn't Why the Last Man Vertigo, or what is it?
I believe
it
is
Vertigo,
which is you know owned by DC Comics.
And I'm gonna say not gonna happen. Just because
I don't think it's gonna happen. I think Brian K. Vaughan is fighting to gain the movie rights back for it so that he can.
I think it'd be a good TV show. I think
it would be a really good miniseries.
Speaking of Walking Dead, we could talk about something I've always wanted to talk to you about, but I don't think I ever have, is Invincible, Robert Kirkman.
Robert Kirkman, creator of The Walking Dead, the comic series in which the AMC show is based off of.
You were talking about big cape writers going to small project to be like, I want to do this idea, but the big two won't let me. Let me do this small project over here. I feel like, have you ever read Invincible?
I have not.
Oh, it's no. So good.
I read way too much Walking Dead, though. Like, yeah. The next, like, three seasons, I already know what's going to happen.
Well, I heard
Kirkman
say, like, the main inspiration for Walking Dead was that he hated how every zombie movie ended. It was always just like, oh, helicopter came, or oh, they all died.
Or they just kind of walk
into the sunset.
Yeah,
and he was like, the thing that he always found most interesting is like, well, what happens next? And that's pretty much Walking Dead. It's just never ending misery and pain and just horrible. And just, so he was always like, why don't they try this? Why does this never happen? And that's what Invincible is all about, but with superheroes. And I know that's kind of like breaking the, what we just talked about,
right?
Like, I'm not talking about capes, but it does it in such an interesting way. Like, I think within, spoiler alert, it's like they are just killing off characters. Like, after like the first volume of Invincible, you're like, oh, it's like a kid's cape comic, kind of like a retelling of Superman, as like if Superman has a son, and you're like, that's cool. And then it just takes a dark turn. Like, the second volume, it's almost like Kirkman's like, I'm bored, I'm going to murder the Justice League, and just, like, straight up just, like, slaughter, like, 15 characters, and you're like, oh my god. And it's just, and, like, I don't even know where they're at now, but I've read, like, several volumes of it, and it just gets nuts, man. It's so good. I definitely recommend that, as well as, we should just get a list of things you need to read. That should be the bottom of this podcast. Just, like, read this.
Yeah, right? Actually, you know, speaking of Walking Dead and seeing what was a smaller comic become a global phenomenon.
Thing. It's not even considered, like, you don't, it, again, kind
they're
of
watching
like,
on Neptune, man. Yeah. I think it's transcended just this planet. It's a solar system phenomenon.
Hopefully they haven't seen season
two. I compiled a list and of movies and yeah, I guess it's mostly movies. And franchises that were based on comics that some of them you may not know. Well, you may know, but our listeners
our
or listener,
all them.
My mother who's tuning into this may not know. So, the movie Art School Confidential.
Oh yeah.
Art School Confidential. If you were ever going to take an art class, highly recommend.
About that.
What's that?
You guys talk about that yesterday?
Such no.
Oh,
I know, right? Considering the concept for
apparently
the
it's
other
a lot
podcast.
Different from the actual comic, but the comic's just like a short little thing, and it's done by, can't remember his name, the guy who did Ghost World, and
that brings me to the next one, Ghost World.
He's good. Yeah, like
I've seen college classes, college literary classes that have Ghost World on their required reading list.
Definitely.
Still
haven't seen it though. Feel bad for not
Steve
doing
Buscemi?
It.
Steve Buscemi?
That's him.
Steve Buscemi's
the
actor. There
but,
you
God,
go.
What's the guy's name? I can't remember.
We'll Google it later.
No, but people are gonna hate us.
Well,
like,
he's
like
a
famous
smartphone.
If you have
I'll continue the list.
Add it online. But
sorry.
No, he is like the one of the biggest, like, he's the guy kind of like invented indie comics as like a deeper kind of medium of just like expression and not just explosions, so.
Right, let's go.
Sorry,
down
to
Road
to
Perdition with Tom Hanks.
That one
gangster
that?
Movie.
No, I haven't seen that.
Really?
No.
Ah, there you go. Road to Perdition. Tom Hanks is a, was it like 1940s mobster who's got a
really?
Son and he's,
I haven't heard of this.
Really?
He's a mobster. Tom
yeah,
Hanks?
Tom Hanks.
Really?
Yeah, and he's got a son. And
when was this made?
Man, early 2000s?
Never heard of it. I think I recognize the title, but I was like picturing a completely different movie. Well,
there you go. Now you got one to add to your list.
Is it on Netflix?
Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, yeah, I guess that is a comic. Kind of the same way Men in Black is. Is that on the list?
Men
sorry.
In Black is on
sorry.
The list.
Sorry.
You're jumping my list.
I'm sorry.
Tales from the Crypt, Men in Black, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh yeah, I think
I think that one's a little more obvious. There was probably some source material that was.
Well, they reference it directly in the movie, but they also reference it in like Ghost World and stuff like that. God, there was one other movie done by that guy. That's gonna bug me. The guy who did Ghost World and his Art School Confidential and then American Splendor. That's it.
American Splendor.
That's the
yes.
same guy who did
yes,
those.
Yes, 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 yes.
That's on your list, though, is it?
It's I not. Didn't because American Splendor was more.
They have, but they do the same thing that Scott Pilgrim
does. It was like
does.
A documentary kind
it's a
of thing.
But that's like based on his comics, sure. And it's like they do the same thing with like speech bubbles and like
right.
popping up in the movie and like make everyone aware this was a comic. But
right.
my favorite line in Scott Pilgrim was at one point you just hear a character in the background go, the comic was much better than the movie. It was like, perfect.
The Rocketeer.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
So Disney has been dabbling with comic IPs, intellectual properties for really?
Was it
a
comic
while.
Before movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that seems like that could have been like because that Rocketeer just seems like it could be like amalgamation of just a bunch of different like
sure.
pulp fiction ideas because
sure.
nobody loved rocket packs like the 1940s like
oh I know someone who loves rocket packs
really
loves the Rocketeer. We'll not go into him though.
Okay.
He's not here to
oh,
defend
yeah,
his love.
Oh yeah, your friend who's obsessed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to know more about that guy, tune into Damn Art Majors later on.
You may have heard of it before.
If that ever hits the OakCityHustle.com. Red, 2010's Red, starring
yeah.
John Malkovich.
Who wrote that comic? Was it Warren Ellis? Who was it? I can't remember.
I'm awful with names. I'm awful. You know what? I compiled the list. You were supposed to do the research. Mystery Men.
That was a comic, really?
Yeah. Of course it was a comic.
I knew it was like, it seemed, I watched it again recently, and there were some good ideas in it. Like, in the fact that they
I loved
like,
I loved Mystery Men.
I
a lot
it.
Of a lot of well-known actors kind of got their first taste of the big screen. Dane Cook was in
yeah.
Mystery Men. Doug Jones played Eraserhead.
Kel Mitchell. From Keenan and Kel. No, that's how I always remember that movie. It's like, oh yeah, Kel Mitchell was in that
Kel
movie.
Kel Mitchell.
And, from Keenan and Kel.
Yeah, no. I remember,
was it
Strawberry Jacuzzi when he's like in Good Burger? Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knew that Keenan would be the one with a career come 2014?
It was interesting. He said, I don't know what Kel's up to right now. He died, apparently.
No. No. Actually, I heard
he
I heard when Keenan and Kel
was
going
was
on.
Last
he...
big thing. It was, it was a big internet thing where it was like, he died. And everyone started spreading it, thinking it was true. And then he just like sent out like a message like, I'm still alive, guys.
That's got to be like the biggest insult to any once famous
he died,
person.
Everyone believes.
Yeah.
But well, he hasn't been in anything.
Actually, one I have a special little tiny room in my heart for this movie. I don't know why. I just like it. Monkey Bone.
Oh yeah, that's
Brendan
cool.
Fraser's Monkey Bone. It was actually based on a comic called Dark Town.
Any similar to Dark
That was Cool World.
Cool World. That's
cool,
what
World
cool World
was a cool
yeah,
movie.
That's not,
with Brad
they had a
Pitt.
Cool. They had the same Was Cool World based on a comic? Is that on your list?
It's not on my list. I'll have to look at that.
It seems like it should have been. It's almost like somebody was like, let's make Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but with indie comics.
Right, or like a more adult humor kind of thing. More recently, Two Guns with Denzel Washington,
well,
Mark Wahlberg.
That's right.
Which,
that,
by the way,
the
in
website,
the comics,
you did the,
I did,
you did
the sequel, Three Guns. Not to be confused with the upcoming... Four guns.
Was it, are you serious?
No, I have no idea. Oh, probably. No.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
That makes me a little sad.
Yeah, I don't know really why they went with Denzel and Mark Wahlberg for those roles. They look nothing like the characters, but I guess when it's so underground, like, nobody's going to care.
Yeah.
The Losers, 2010.
Chris Evans was in that. That's the only thing I know about it.
I really don't think I'd check that one out.
You haven't?
I don't think
Why
I
is
did.
It on the list? We don't know anything about it.
Just because other people might know. There might be
this
like
is for
two
you,
people
two
out
people
there.
Who might,
yeah,
her audience.
My mother who's listening may. Oh, I know that movie. Kick-Ass, obviously.
Yeah.
Mark Millar.
Comic has taken a very different turn from the movie, though.
That's interesting. I've heard that complaint, especially with the jetpack ending of the first one.
I prefer it, if anything, because they're just so mean about, like, because, like, he makes, the whole thing is just, like, screw you comic book fans, you want to be a superhero, this is what your life would be like. And then it's just horrible. Like, it makes you feel bad.
Yeah.
It, I mean, like, maybe it makes, like, casual people who don't read comics like, ah, yes, they suck, kind of. But made me personally a little sad.
And last on my list is Viggo Mortensen's History of Violence, 2005.
Yeah, that came out a while ago.
Yeah. I didn't think it was that long ago, 2005, though. That
was I was in high school.
Yeah. Can't say I saw that one either.
Yeah.
Man.
Why are you doing this?
Dude, because I just researched the list.
I heard that was good.
I can't see them all, people.
Well, that's not a big list.
All right.
Could. We'll make an effort.
We're going to make a list of movies to see. But yeah, no, the whole point of the list was to illustrate that...
they're everywhere. I mean, like,
they're everywhere. They're these writers, these illustrators, they're writing complex stories that will, you know, with any kind of luck, transcend either the digital format, the paper format, and be picked up, and you'll be watching it on TV. You'll
good
be watching
story,
it into the
story.
Movie theaters.
That's all that matters. Some people have different preferences. I guess anything Neil Gaiman's done falls into a category, or most of the things Neil Gaiman or Gaiman's done.
He's
not one of my favorite writers, but it's interesting seeing how some writers will go to the comic book just because they prefer it in a
sure.
lot of ways. Which you would think it's like, oh, that's a lot more work. You pull an artist into it. It takes a whole lot longer than just type. But people enjoy comics. I mean, I don't really know what it is, but people, like, personally, reading just like. I read books, but it's like I can get through comics just so much faster, and I can like ingest so much more.
There is that sense of instant gratification. Like, I just read a book in 7 minutes. I'm super smart.
Yeah, it's like,
there's a lot of words in it.
I got a Kindle, and I've been like, I'm gonna read more, and it's just like,
yeah.
I'm trying to do better, but it's Yeah,
you know,
most of the writers I enjoy, though, looking for books are like, I'm like, this guy does a good comic. I'm going to go read his, like, written stuff.
When you think about it, and this could be a topic for that, I mean, this can go on to its own thing, and, you know, maybe we'll pick it up one day.
Sorry, Hope City Hustle.
Yeah, right? What was the original form of documented storytelling?
Oh, God.
Cave drawings.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Cave drawings. And what did they do? They told a story through drawings. Sequential art.
You got to read. Sequential art was a term coined by Scott McCloud.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Sequential
you go.
Art, yeah. So
I would know that if I had read his book.
You need to read his
God,
book.
I got
you are
anything.
Just so bad.
I'm doing two podcasts right now. I'm doing a blog.
You're
and
going,
then I got like
I
a job
so
I got to do. If I could just buy an extra 5 hours a day, I would.
That'd
but
cool.
You can't really do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
and then I got a bunch
right
of Walking Dead to watch. Got a
yeah.
Anyway.
How's the comic? Have you been keeping up with the comic? Because I haven't been.
I don't read it monthly.
Yeah,
I just kind of had like a big archive. If you want it, you know what? Good time to bring this up. If you want to catch up on all the Walking Dead, but you don't know where to start, and there's no way you're going to collect every single issue now at this point without, you know, spending your life savings.
Yeah.
They've compiled them into compendiums. There's two that are massive. They have like 40 issues each, and you can get it for about $40, give or take. So it's like $1 an issue.
Not bad.
Yeah. And the thing reads like a crazy soap opera.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Mm.
They say Kirkman just literally will just be like, one day he'll wake up and like, so-and-so needs to die today. And just like decide, like on a whim, this character's dying.
Right.
Which adds like a lot more realism to the show. Because I feel like that's how it actually works. Like,
sure.
There's like not much rhyme or reason to it, unfortunately.
Well, he always says that he knows ultimately where it's going. You don't think?
I don't know. I think he has certain ideas. Like, I think he knows...
Sure.
What's going to happen to Rick. I think he knows what's going to happen to a couple of other like main characters, like where he wants them to go. But there's so many characters in that book, and so many of them just seem to like drop off like bam, just like so fast, like without any kind of like
farewell. I think they're going to get out of Georgia, and they're going to realize it only affected like a 20 mile radius, and the rest of the world is just tweeting away.
Crap.
And...
Or I heard, have you heard like the Cure kind of like theory? Or like, well, they said in the very beginning they showed the CDC because they didn't want it to think,
oh, that's only not going to be a cure. Right.
Yeah, but how screwed would they be if it was like, yeah, we could have cured all those people,
yeah,
and they'd be fine, but you just straight up murdered all Whoops. Of them.
Anyway, I think we're going to wrap it up right now, but this was the first, you know, audio No Big Two, the interview. I'm Adam Buccafusco. This is my guest, Jacob Corm.
Yep.
You know, if you like what you're listening to or what you're reading, please follow me on Twitter at NB2CR. Rolls off the tongue. You can email me at nobig2to@gmail.com for more about me and what the heck I'm doing. ANB-graphics. Any more things to plug?
Oh, read the blog. It's a good blog. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, cool. I'm glad people are reading it and digging it. Right.
That's
on.
Good.
Yeah, I'm out of shameless promotions. I don't know.
I don't think I have anything. I could start some things. I could start plugging if you really want to plug some more stuff.
Do you want to plug something? You got a project you're plugging?
Again, I'm not prepared. I'm always working on a project. I just can't ever get anything done. Like, I don't mean, I can be like, I'm working to see Jake's half-finished comic, see Jake's half-finished movie. No, I got nothing right now. I'll try and get something done for you.
Maybe next time. All right. Yeah, see you guys back to the blog next week. See ya.
Bye.